Hello, it's Sean, and we're here with another episode of Fun Kids Meets. This is where we bring the most interesting people to you every week. From celebrities to people who do cool things in space, in science, authors, we've got the best people for you right on this podcast. And one of the best people is on this podcast right now, and it's Dan from Fun Kids. Hey, Dan.
Hello, Sean. Thanks for having me back on Fun Kids Meets. This week, today, I've bought for you my, I bought a contact from my science world for you today.
Dan is the king of science. If you heard last week, we established him as scientific royalty.
We did indeed. Last week, we spoke about robots who were drawing from your ideas. Now, this week, I spoke to a dude all the way over in Hawaii all about why fish glow in the dark.
Oh, nice. Which is the technical term is bioluminescence, I believe.
Bioluminescence in fish. Yeah, I spoke to a lovely chipper chap called Tom Iwaniki, as I say, from Uni of Hawaii. So we know that fish down deep and deep and deep in the sea, where it's pitch black, they have evolved to be bioluminescent, to glow in the dark, simply pretty much so they can see what's going on. That's how, you know, evolution works, and it's for different reasons why they're doing this. But they've also discovered in new studies maybe different reasons why fish glow in the dark, and maybe it's to do with when the oceans get warmer.
Interesting. So a thing that we always do on Fun Kids Meets is get out the Fun Kids Meets bingo card. So this is where I try and foresee what Dan is going to be chatting to Tom about. Bioluminescence. I'm just trying to think what kind of things that you guys would cover. Now, I reckon, actually, I want the chemistry behind this, because I feel this is going to be scientific. I want, like, the ingredients. What causes bioluminescence? I want to bake my own glowing fish by the end of this podcast. I also want to hear specific types of fish, and actually this is going to be one in particular that I want to hear about in this podcast, and it's the one in Finding Nemo with the big teeth and the kind of the little lamp hanging on his head. Do we all know which fish I'm on about? Big eyes, big teeth, and it's got like its own little light attached to his head. That's bioluminescence, isn't it?
On the telly it is, yeah. Like I know the fish that you're talking about.
Does he not exist? Is he on a Finding? I'm sure he exists.
I mean, movie companies, especially Pixar, do immense research to get all these details right.
That fish exists, and I want to hear about it.
What would you call that fish if you could name a fish with a light bulb on its head?
Big snappy lamp fish.
Well, I tell you what, you might not be too far from the truth there, Sean. Is it the Latin term?
I hope I hear about it. I actually got a Lego model of that fish for Christmas. True story. And also the magic word for this podcast. I'm just going to stick with the Finding Nemo theme. I want to hear about Nemo. I'm thinking if you're going to be chatting about fish, there's going to be a Nemo reference in there somewhere. So the magic word is going to be Nemo. So make sure you listen out for those things. The chemistry behind bioluminescence, the big snappy lampfish from Finding Nemo, and the word Nemo. Right then, Dan, let's have a chat with Tom.
We've got Tom Iwaniki. He's a PhD candidate in zoology from the University of Hawaii, and he joins us now. Hello, Tom.
Hello, thank you for having me on. I'm very excited.
I've made a fool of myself. I should have said the classic aloha.
Yes, aloha.
So sorry. I know you probably get that all the time, but it's just a thing that we have to do. Listen, bioluminescence, glow-in-the-dark animals. It's amazing that wildlife gives us such a wide range, isn't it? Just tell us, Tom, what makes a fish bioluminescent?
Yeah, so bioluminescence is a chemical reaction that produces light. It happens in not only fish, it happens in bacteria, algae, and many different animals. And so the basic machinery involved in bioluminescence is a protein that we call luciferase. It mixes with a little molecule called luciferin and a tiny bit of oxygen, and it binds up, that luciferase binds up the luciferin, gets it really wound up and excited. And when that luciferin returns to its sort of normal state, sort of slunks down and relaxes, it releases the puff of light from that energy that's being built up. And done in aggregate millions of times in a cell, that's what produces the light that we're able to see.
So that's what it is. But why is it there? Why do fish mostly deep down in the ocean, I think. Why do they need to glow in the dark? Why do they need to give themselves away?
Yeah, so that's actually the question that really keeps me busy and keeps me excited, actually. I love this question. There are almost as many forms as there are functions of bioluminescence. Some animals bioluminesce to communicate with each other, in the deep, dark ocean in particular. They can use light to attract mates. Many animals use it for defense also. An example is seen in shrimp. When they're swimming around and a really big fish comes a little too close for comfort, that shrimp actually releases a bright, mucousy cloud of light that blinds the fish and startles it, allowing for the shrimp to escape to safety. Other forms of defense for bioluminescence include camouflage, or even bioluminescence can be used as a burglar alarm. So if you're being sort of munched on and disturbed by a predator, what you could do is draw the attention of larger predators that come to your rescue. Also, bioluminescence is used on the offense as well. A classic example is the anglerfish that dangles a tiny little barbel of light right near its mouth that draws in unsuspecting prey to within reach.
Are you able, Tom, to... This might be a little bit before your expertise, but are you able to try and talk us through why we think they originally evolved this skill?
Yeah, so that's a really exciting question, because what scientists have found is that bioluminescence has evolved, now the recent estimate is more than 90 times independently across life. And so there are so many different luciferases that have been involved. They use different luciferins. And so that's actually a really, really tough and interesting question, is finding out what type of molecules or what type of proteins were adapted early on to start producing light.
So is that what we think, Tom? So way back when, perhaps one fish down there would perhaps have been a mutant at the time, became bioluminescent, had this protein, had this chemical reaction happening, and then its children, I guess, then had that as well. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, so I guess what the idea is that early on there was a protein that was used for something else, like metabolism or something. And after it had that protein acquired a little mutation, all of a sudden it was producing light when it interacted with a molecule. And so once that little puff of light sort of started, then evolution sort of took its course and was able to run away with all the other different forms and functions that we see today. And that has happened, like I said, more than 90 times across animal life.
It's 90 times across animal life. Is it mainly seen in animals that live in pretty dark parts of the world at the bottom of the ocean?
Yeah, so I guess that question gets at where we're finding it. And that is actually really common misconception I find about bioluminescence, and it's one that I shared as a kid growing up in a city near the base of the Rocky Mountains in Canada. I didn't really know much about the ocean and bioluminescence, and I thought that bioluminescence was this cool but rare occurrence. You might see fireflies at night in some parts of North America, or in the ocean you'd have to go to like special bays, the bioluminescent bays and areas of the planet, to see the dazzling light displays. But actually, if you were to be in the ocean where you can't see any land at all, and let's say you had goggles on and you were able to swim about, even near the surface where there's still a bit of twinkling starlight above you, let's say, if you were to look down, there would be similarly bright twinkling light displays at the surface, and then diving deep down 10 meters or even kilometers. And scientists have actually estimated that about 3 out of every 4 little critters you would find or see on this little adventure you've gone on are actually capable of bioluminescence. And so bioluminescence really is this really prevalent phenomenon in the open ocean, and the oceans are literally glowing with light.
How far down would we have to travel to meet these?
In the open ocean, it's right there at the surface, all the way down to kilometers deep. It's all over the place, really.
Incredible. And are they getting brighter in warmer waters? Is that something that you've spotted?
Yeah, so that's a little project that we've been doing, looking at sort of milling through old papers and reading about what's understood about these systems, these bioluminescent animals. And what we're finding is that with climate change, the humans are putting out increasingly more and more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. And the ocean absorbs about a third of all of that carbon dioxide. And as the ocean absorbs more carbon dioxide, it gets slightly more acidic. And what we're finding is that under those slightly more acidic conditions, the bioluminescent light that's produced by various animals either goes up and gets really bright in some animals, and in other animals it actually decreases the light they're able to produce by a lot as well.
What's a lot there, Tom? How much brighter are they getting now?
There are, for example, some jellyfish or bacteria that we're seeing the light produced actually doubling, so twice as bright. And on the sort of other extreme, there are some squid that actually reduce the amount of light they're able to produce by about half.
It's just amazing, isn't it, that this exists all around us and how wildly different forms of life can be. Tom Iwanicki, thank you so much for joining us and telling us all about it.
Thank you for having me.
What excellent guy. Old Tom, loving life in Hawaii.
Sometimes I interview science people all around the world and I have to really, really focus on the topic that they're here to talk about. Otherwise, I'll just end up chatting to them about what the weather's like on Hawaii, what the surf's like on California. Like, I have to like really, really focus. Otherwise, I will go on tangents about the amazingness of different parts of the world.
Well, you definitely did focus this time because we learned loads about bioluminescence. I'm just looking at my bingo card right here. And I'll tell you what, if I wanted the chemistry behind bioluminescence, I got it in spades. He was breaking down the particular proteins and all that good stuff. So I think that's a big tick for that one.
Yeah.
No mention of the big toothy snapping fish, though.
So when you were mentioning this before the chat, I have spoken to many, many, many science people. And I love the fact that if I'm chatting to like this really genius expert, you think the first thing my brain goes to is, oh, Finding Nemo. I love that film.
That's what people want, Dan. It's what I want.
Not as much big, snappy light bulb fish chat as I think you hoped.
No, that is a shame. And in fact, no Nemo chat whatsoever because there was no magic word. Wasn't even close this week. Came so close last week. But this time, nowhere near. Nowhere near.
I'm sorry about that. I do love the film Finding Nemo. I probably think Finding Dory's better. You know, got opinions like that.
Controversial. That's for another podcast, I believe. But we weren't as successful with the bingo. I am filled with knowledge of bioluminescence. So I'm going to take that as a win. Make sure you join us next week on Fun Kids Meet, where we will be meeting more excellent, interesting people. Thanks to Dan for dropping by.
Thank you, Sean, for having me get another guest for Fun Kids Meets.
That is no problem. Make sure you subscribe and we will see you next week. Bye.